But I'm glad you're here this morning. And if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word, if you'll turn to 1 Kings chapter number 14. 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings chapter 14, we'll look at verses 25 through 30. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 25 through 30. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 14, verse number 25, "And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all. And he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields and committed them unto the hands of the chief of the guard, which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so when the king went into the house of the Lord that the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah?" And in verse 30, "And there was a war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days." This morning I want to give you a message entitled, "Getting Back the Golden Shields." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the morning that you've given to us. Lord, we are grateful for the time we get to come together and to sing our praises to you and lift our prayer requests to you and also to learn more about you. And Lord, I pray that you'll just be with us this morning as we look into your word of what you have for us. And I pray that this morning, if there's someone that is here that does not know you as their Savior, I pray that they would not leave this place without knowing 100% sure that they're going to go to heaven this morning. Lord, I thank you for the time that you've given to us. Lord, I pray that you'll use it for your honor and your glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Solomon was young when his father, King David, bestowed upon him the greatest nation on planet Earth. The thought of having that kind of power humbled him. And he would fall on his face to God and say that he cried out to God for help. He needed help from God to rule a nation of Israel. But God blessed Solomon with great riches. During this time, Solomon made the golden shields. Back in 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 16, it talks about this. But these shields represented the glory of Israel, the power of Israel, the holiness of Israel, and the spirituality of Israel. These shields were symbolic of God among the people. Now Solomon passes off the scene, and when he does, the kingdom goes to his son Rehoboam. Now when he realized that the nation of Israel had fallen under his care, he did some unusual and strange things. The first thing he did was instead of praying to God and asking God for help, he went to counsel. He asked for counsel from people. He first went to the older men who gave him some pretty good advice. Yet he didn't take that advice. He went to the younger men who were about his age, who didn't know much from what Rehoboam did. And about 5 years later, there wasn't much glory in the nation of Israel left. When we come to our scripture, we see that a man by the name of Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Israel and he took away all the treasures of the house of Israel. He took away, and it says all. By the way, all the devil wants is all in your life. All he wants is all. And in the process, he took away the golden shields which Solomon had made. And then when that happened, Rehoboam did a second unusual and strange thing. Instead of going to God and saying, "God, they have taken away these golden shields. They took away all these treasures." Instead of that, he called his servants. He said, "Quick, we got to come in. We got to. We can't let the people know that all these the golden shields, these were symbolic of Israel. They couldn't know that these had been taken. So what they did was they were gonna." He said, "Let's make some new ones." But we don't have any gold. There was a problem here. They didn't have gold. So what they did instead was, if you look back in verse number 27, it says, the king of Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields. Instead of that, he said, we have some brass. Let's take some brass and let's make these golden shields. And they crafted together and they made some beautiful brazen shields. They stuck them up in the chamber and said, praise the Lord, everything's okay. But you know, shine as you will, polish as you will, burn as you will, brass will never be gold. It's not the same. And as I was studying for this passage for this morning, I realized that there are some golden shields in our lives that the devil is taking away from us. And instead, we're putting up these brazen shields with these brazen, that it's not the exact same. This morning, I would like to point out some of these golden shields, if you were, in our lives that we have let slip through our hands and that we need to get back. The first one I notice, even this is in our churches, in our nation today, that I believe these aspects are gone this morning. But the first one I want to share with you is the golden shield of preaching. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Jesus came to this world preaching. John the Baptist came preaching. Paul told Timothy in Timothy to preach the word. Now we need some good old fashioned preaching in our churches this morning. But sadly, a lot of these churches have gone to seeker friendly services. Sadly, they have gotten these watered down gospels. They try to make you feel good. They try to say that you're a good person. But you see, I mean, we need some preaching of the Bible. Amen. You know, there is a lot where the Bible is not the focus of the services anymore. They're more worried about the entertainment. In today's world, Satan has corrupted the truth by using false teachings and false doctrines. Doctrines such as you can lose your salvation. Doctrines such as salvation is by works, only that certain groups can be saved. That God isn't just God. Jesus isn't the Son of God. Jesus was just a man. He didn't really shed his blood on the cross for the remission of sins. You can do anything you want to do. And many other beliefs today that are in denominations, in the churches that they are proclaiming that can get you to heaven, or they just these false teachings. Now, when did we get off track in these false beliefs? When did we get off this trail? Well, if you see these television pastors today, they make these obnoxious sermons about 15 reasons why you improve your self-image. A lot of people say, okay, well, when was the last time that your favorite TV preacher preached against drugs and preached against alcohol and preached against abortion? There's a lot of preachers today that don't preach against those things. But the Bible clearly says that they are an abomination to the Lord. And you see, there's a lot of false teachings this morning. We need to go back and get those golden shield of preaching. Preaching what is right, and what is wrong is wrong. I believe today a lot, you know, that Satan says that you can do anything you want to. Satan says that tries to throw false doctrines and false teachings into the mix. But God says, preach the word. Mark 16, verse 15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That verse is not just to preachers. That is to everybody in this room. You ought to go out and tell others about Christ. You ought to preach the word, not necessarily preaching, but telling others about Him. Tell what is right. Tell that the good news is salvation. But there are a lot of people today that will sit on the sidelines. But, you know, I believe that we need to get excited about the preaching of God's word. You know, we're sitting in churches this morning and there's a lot of people that don't care about the preaching of the gospel anymore. They get more excited about a football game. By the way, I was excited yesterday. And I was shouting for shouting when my team scored. But can I tell you, they shout when their team and their game goes into overtime. That didn't happen yesterday, but I wish it kind of would have. But you shout for glory when the football game goes into overtime, or when there was a last second buzzer beater at a basketball game. But nobody shouts in church anymore. It's sad that people don't get excited about the Word of God this morning. But we need to get back to the old time way of the preaching of the gospel. That's the golden shield that Satan has took it away from us. That has, in the churches, have not been as it once was. Now we're having these brazen put on the front. We're sticking it up and saying, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, that was a good sermon." But we're walking out of this place and not doing anything about it. Uh-oh. There's a lot of people today that listen to the truth, but they won't go out and apply it. You see, we need to get back to where people were falling all over the altar and praying and asking God to help them for each and every day. We need God every single day of our lives. There's temptations in this world that will try to take you. Satan will throw anything at you and you say, "Well, it won't happen to me because I'm prayed up." Look, those are the people that Satan's are going to go after. He's not going to go after the people that are already living like the world, because he already has them. He has you. If you're living in sin, Satan's got you. He's not going to fight you. But if you're going for God, if you're sold out for God, Satan is going to try to get you to fall every single day, every single moment. There's going to be things that come on the television that try to get your attention. There's things that will try to tempt you. There are billboards you pass on the side that try to tempt you. There are things that in this world that will try to tempt you to get off track from God. But you see, this morning we need to go back to the golden shields of preaching. But number two, I want you to notice that the golden shield of holiness. Holiness is gone in this country. Look in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 18. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 18. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. The Bible says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with the eye salve, that thou mayest see." God is a thrice holy God. He's holy, holy, holy. Amen. God the Father is holy. God the Son is holy. God the Holy Spirit is holy. I like that song, "Holy, Holy, Holy." But look, this morning, we don't act holy. Us as people, we do not act like Jesus. Satan tries to throw lustful things in our place, and I believe that holiness is gone in our country. The devil tries to throw lustful things on TV, the pornography, things that you will look that will entice your flesh to lure you in. He'll put perverted thoughts into your head. And the sad part is, people today are engulfing it. They're embracing it. They're accepting it. It's okay to have relations outside of marriage. It's okay to have same-sex marriages. It's okay to get an abortion. And I'm shocked that the people's standards in this day, what they wear, what they listen to, what they watch, where they go. It saddened me yesterday when we were at the football game that we see these people, that the way they were dressed. It sickens me. And I'm not just talking about LSU fans. There were Tennessee fans that were bad too. Look. The things people wear, it's just disgusting. Where have we lost our moral standards? Look, there are people today that are just living like it's okay. But look, we need to get back to the holiness in this country, in our churches. I'm shocked at the standards that even our churches are allowing today. You say it's not happening in churches. Absolutely it is. People are lowering their dress standards. They're lowering their standards on their doctrines. They're lowering everything on the holiness. Satan tries to throw in those lustful things, but God says, "Be holy." Look in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 16. You know this scripture. 1 Peter 1, verse 16. It says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God says that we need to be holy. When we got saved, we ought not to do the things we used to do. We ought to put off the old man and put on the righteousness of God. You know, there was a song, and there still is a song today in the children's song that says, the things I used to do, I never did them anymore. Look, that song is, there is a great, great change. I sang that when I was doing an internship at my wife's church. We used to sing this song, Great Change. The verses, it says, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. And a couple of the next verses were the words I used to say, I don't say them anymore. You know, when you got saved, there ought to be some words you don't say anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. Why? Because there's been a great change since we've been born again. But sadly, the holiness is gone in the country. The devil has taken away the holiness in our churches, in our country. But it's because we've allowed it. We've allowed those things to happen. We need to go back and get the golden shield of holiness. Number three, I want you to notice the golden shield of prayer. Prayer used to be the first thing that happened in every activity. It used to be the first activity when a teacher got up before class started. They used to pray. Pray that God would help them as they taught their students. Pray that their prayer used to be before football games. There used to be prayer before any kind of sporting events. There's not much of that left anymore. Satan tries to throw in doubts that God won't answer our prayers. Many times, Satan throws that a little doubt into your minds. You've been praying that prayer for years. God won't answer it. God hasn't answered it. Why will He answer it now? He's not going to. He won't hear you. Many times people accept that. They become bitter at God. They turn away from Him. But God says, pray. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Of another very familiar passage of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. You know, that doesn't mean that you need to pray 24 hours a day. That just means you need to be in a continual prayer and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to pray. It doesn't say pray unless only when the things are hard, when times are hard. Pray when only things are going well. We need to pray all the time. Pray without ceasing. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Philippians 4, 6. I know I'm making like a sword drill this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Everything we need to do, we need to take everything to God in prayer. And sadly today, a lot of people don't pray. They don't pray for the small things. They just wait until something happens and then they go to God. Have you ever prayed a prayer that maybe you prayed half-heartedly? I know I've done that before. You know, it's just like, God, will you just help me with this? You know, and you pray that half-heartedly and God works a miracle. You're just thinking to yourself, man, why don't I even do this more? Why was that a half-hearted prayer? Why couldn't I have done it? You know, sometimes our prayers are half-complaining. I've done that before. I've half-complained to God, like, why isn't this working? You know, I remember one year, I can't remember what year it was, but I was on my way back from college, going back home for, I believe it was Thanksgiving. And my car was making a little bit of a sound. And, you know, first thing was, oh, man, I got a flat tire. Like, and it's pouring down rain, by the way. And I'm thinking, great, this is going to be awesome. It's pouring down rain. There's nowhere to be. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I feel like I have a flat tire. And I pull over to the side and there's no flat tire. Of course, then I complain and I'm like, it's pouring down rain and I'm soaking wet. And I'm like, why was this? I felt like this vibration was in the car. Why in the world is this happening? And then about a mile down the road,
I see a car turned over in the ditch. And I remember that car was right next to me about a little while back before I felt the vibration. And you can't convince me any otherwise that God was watching over me and protecting me. You know why? Because I prayed that the Lord would help me through my drive, that He would protect me regardless what with anybody. You know, it may be that I may be a safe driver. Now, my wife may think different, but you see, you know, you may be the safest driver. You may be, but there's other people on the road. You never know what's going to happen. But look, when you pray, God will provide. Now, He may not provide in the exact way you may think, but God will provide if you just pray to Him. I know of a preacher who he was an evangelist, and he came into a church, and I don't know what he preached on, but they ran him off with no offering. And that's kind of sad. He had no money to get home, and he was, you know, he didn't make that much anyway, traveling evangelist. He was driving home, and, you know, he had no food to eat. Him and his wife and his two little girls, they didn't have anything to eat. So they started getting hungry, and he went over, he pulled on the side of the road, and there was a little restaurant. Pulled over there, got in, and his wife was like, "We have no money. How are you telling me we're going to eat?" He said, "I believe God will provide for us." So they got in, they ate, and he went up to pay the bill, and they found out the bill was paid. Turns out somebody came up and says, "I saw they bow their heads before they prayed," and said, "There's not much of that anymore. There's not much praying going on anymore. I'd like to pay for their meal." They got in the car rejoicing, praising the Lord. A little while down the road, their gas got on E. They pulled into a little fill station, one of those old-timey ones where somebody used to help you. You remember some of those? I know Brother Artis remembers that, right? But you see, they pulled in, and they said, he said, "Praise the Lord, it worked the first time. Let's pray for another one." So they got in. The guy came up and was filling up their gas, and the preacher said, "How you doing today?" And he said, "I'm feeling terrible." He goes, "What's wrong?" He said, I was at church and this preacher was talking about hell and going to hell. And he goes, "But I should have gone forward and I didn't get saved, but I'm going to go to church and I'm going to get saved." And the preacher said, "Hey, brother, you know, can I tell you that you don't have to go to church. You can get saved tonight." And he goes, "Are you a preacher?" He goes, "I sure am." And he goes, "Tell me about Jesus. Tell me about it." He won that old boy to the Lord Jesus Christ that night. And he said, "Now, wait a minute about the gas." And he goes, "The gas is on me. Anybody tell the Lord, anybody about God, I'm going to give them the free gas." So they got home that night. They got home. They were full of food. The gas was full of tank. And also their mailbox, somebody mailed them a check full of money. God provides when you pray. Amen. God provides. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen to you, but can I tell you, God will provide for your needs. You say, "Brother Matthew, I need $1 million. You know, that may be a preference. God may not give you that. There's a want. You say, "I want a nice car. I want a Lamborghini. I want a Corvette." Look, God may not give you that, but God will give you what you need. Amen. God will give you a vehicle to get you from point A to point B. And maybe, hopefully, to point A again. But you see, God provides if we only pray. The Bible says, "Yeah, have not because he asked not." Look, you ask God for something, he will give it to you. Maybe not exactly what the way you want it, but God will give you what you need. But the prayer, the golden shield of prayer this morning, it's gone in our country. Many people don't pray anymore. They think they can make it on their own. They think that I don't need God to help me. I could do it myself. But that when that time comes, then they go over and they pray to God. But look, folks, this morning we need to get back to praying. You know, even our church, the Bible says, Jesus said, "My house should be called a house of prayer." That's what it should be, a house of prayer. We ought to be praying to God when we're here. Number four this morning, we've lost the golden shield of thanksgiving. Look in Psalm chapter 150. Psalm 150, verse number 6. Psalm 150, verse 6. "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Praise to the Lord. Thanks Thankfulness is linked with prayer many times. But when was the last time you thanked God for something? When was the last time that your prayer wasn't just a prayer of, I need this, God, or I need this? When was the last time a prayer was for thanksgiving? You thank God for everything that you had. Look, we need to thank God for what we have too. God is not just a genie in a bottle that will give you three wishes. He's not one that's just there to answer your prayer. He's there because we need to thank Him for what He's already answered in our life too. You know, I'm thankful to God for my salvation. That ought to be number one on our top of our list. Thank God that we're not going to spend an eternity in hell. If you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you ought to be thankful every single day for your salvation. You ought to be thankful for all that you have. You know, Satan tries to throw in problems, and it's so easy to get throughout the business of life and routine and forget to be thankful. But when the devil throws problems into our past, when troubles and trials come to our life, it's harder to be thankful. Maybe it's a death in the family. And maybe it's a sickness of a friend, an unexpected tragedy. Whatever it might be, it's taking your thankfulness away. But God says, be thankful. You remember back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. But then in the very next verse, it says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, not in just some things, in everything, give thanks. We ought to be thankful to God in everything in our lives that He's given to us. That even if He hasn't given it to us, yes, we ought to be thankful to God. We ought to be do you know that everything you have is from God? Everything you own, every piece of clothing, every piece of furniture, everything you have is because God gave it to you. But many times we say, I accumulated that. That was I bought it with my money. Well, God gave you that. God gave you the job. God gave you everything that you have. But we forget it, and we forget to be thankful. I heard of a preacher who had a head-on collision with Jesus one time. He had a nice house, nice car, nice everything. And he went to talk with one of his church members. And the church member didn't have much of anything. He had just very little. And he was just thankful that he had a little bit of water to come through his faucet. And preacher got home and he saw what they were living. They were living in just a really bad condition. But they were so thankful that the preacher was like, he couldn't get over how thankful those people were for what they little they had. He got home that night and he just dropped to his knees and just went to every piece of his furniture and said, thank God that I'm able to sit in this lazy boy recliner. I'm thankful to God for this refrigerator. I'm thankful for the bed that God's given me. Thank you for the house, the roof over our head. He had a head-on collision with Jesus. But there's some people this morning that are in Baton Rouge that are sitting on the side of the road who don't have anything. They don't have a dime to get their next meal. But yet here we are in church. And maybe you can think, but you have a nice home to go home to. You have a pantry full of food that you have that you're going to pick out what you're going to have for lunch. You have nice clothes to put on. You have a nice vehicle to bring in. But when was the last time you thanked God for those things? We've lost the thankfulness in our country this morning. But you need to go home, get on your knees and thank God for everything He's given to you. You know, I'm so thankful for the Lord for everything He's given to me. I don't truly deserve everything I have. And I don't have much, but I'm thankful for what He has given to me. I'm thankful for the nice home we have. May not be the best, but we love it. We're thankful that God has provided us a place. We didn't know we were going to get that. We had no idea. I'm thankful for our vehicles that we drive. I'm thankful for our food that we have. I'm thankful for our church. I'm thankful for every one of you. Can I tell you this morning that we need to be thankful, not just asking God for the things that we want, but praising God for what He's already given us. But Shishak, the devil, so to speak, has come in and taken all those golden shields away from us. He's taken our thankfulness. He's taken our prayer away. He's taken our joy. He's taken our hope away. This morning, we need to get back to the golden shields. Get back to where we used to be. Now, you have a decision to make this morning. You can have two choices. You can either put on a front and say, "Thank God, that was a good sermon this morning. Thank God, praise the Lord. I have everything going well in my life." And you can walk out of this place, go home, and live the same way you did before you came in. You can take the sin back with you, take everything that's gone, that's in your life. You can take it right back home with you and live it like it never even happened. Or you can make the choice to come and say, "Lord, I need to come back to you. I want to be that fire to be renewed in my soul when I got saved. I want that joy. I want that peace. I want everything that you want for me." Look, can I tell you, God wants to give you, pour out His richest blessings upon you. But look, if you have sin in your life, God can't bless you. God cannot have fellowship with sin. Once you take the sin out of your life, God can pour His blessings upon you. This morning, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what your heart is. But I know it's between you and God. Can I ask you this morning, can I plead with you this morning, if there's something there that is hindering your relationship with God, can I plead with you to get it right this morning? Bring it before Him. Give it over to Him. Say, "God, take this out of my life. God, help me." And look, God won't turn you away. I'm so thankful we serve a God that will not put away His children, will not say, "You're not good enough." Look, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all are sinners. But I'm thankful that He accepts us just the way we are. This morning, let me ask you, what is in your life this morning? Is there something that maybe you're putting on a front when you come to church? There's some brazen shields, so to speak, in your life. Can I ask you to go back to those golden shields? We need to get them back. And maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, and whosoever will may come. This morning, if you've never truly accepted Christ as your Savior, can I plead with you to not leave this place without knowing for sure? Come talk to me. Come talk to some of the men. If you're a lady, you could talk to my wife or some of the ladies. We want to show you how you can know for sure.